In this lesson, we're going to look at an example of using Lagrange multipliers to solve a particular economic problem. In this case, a problem known as peak load pricing. Peak load pricing is a case whenever we have to use capital across two different markets. So the example we're going to look at is cell service. Consider the case where you have demand for cell service in the day, which is the peak period, and demand at night, which is the off-peak period. The cell company has to supply a cell capability or cell tower to feed both markets. How do they optimally determine the right number of cells to have in the area and the appropriate pricing in each market? So let's consider that we have two markets where we know the demand. First is the peak or day market, and we happen to know that demand for this market is given by the following: P1 equals 100 minus Q1, where Q1 is the number of cell users. And in the evening, the demand is given by P2 equals 70 minus Q2, where Q2 is the number of users in the evening. Now, the cost that the firm must incur involves the use of cell capacity. So we're going to let K be the number of units of capacity, or cell towers. And K will be used both at the day and the night, and it costs $42 per unit of K. So now let's set up our profit function. So our profit function, pi, will be equal to P1 times Q1, revenue in market 1, plus P2 times Q2, the revenue in market 2, minus 42 times K, where K is the number of units of capacity. Now we will deal with the problem of making sure that we have enough capacity for each market by using Lagrange multipliers. So we'll create lambda 1 will be K minus Q1 plus lambda 2 times K minus Q2. Now these two Lagrange constraints we've added to the profit function ensure that the number of units of Q in each market, Q1 and Q2, do not exceed the number of units of capacity, which is K. Now in most constraint problems, K would be given, but in this case we're actually going to solve for the amount of capacity as well. So let's take the partial derivatives or first order conditions for the profit function. Well, first let's substitute in for P1 and P2. So pi will equal 100 Q1 minus Q1 squared plus 70 Q2 minus Q2 squared minus 42k plus the first constraint, lambda 1, k minus q1 again, plus lambda 2, k minus q2. So we'll take the partial derivative pi sub 1 for q1, and we get 100 minus 2q1 minus lambda 1, since Q1 appears in only the first constraint, and that will equal 0. Then pi 2, derivative with respect to Q2, will be 70 minus 2Q2 minus lambda 2 equals 0. Then we will take the partial derivative pi sub k, and k appears three places, here with minus 42k and inside each of the constraints. So this will give us negative 42 plus lambda 1 plus lambda 2 equals 0. And finally, as always, we will have pi sub lambda 1, which is k minus q1, and pi sub lambda 2, which is k minus q2. Now for this problem, we're going to assume that the constraints are both binding, so we'll set them equal to 0. Now let's inspect our first order conditions before we solve this problem. Now, for each Q1 and Q2, 100 minus 2Q1 is the marginal revenue for market 1. And 70 minus 2Q2 is the marginal revenue for market 2. Now we know that profit maximization requires that marginal revenue minus marginal cost equals 0, or marginal revenue equals marginal cost. So that suggests that lambda 1 is probably the marginal cost for market 1, and lambda 2 will be the marginal cost for market 2. Now, if we look at the third equation, we can rewrite it as lambda 1 plus lambda 2 equals 42. Now, what does this mean? 42 is the cost of the capacity. Lambda 1 and lambda 2 are the Lagrange multipliers for market 1 and market 2 respectively, or often referred to as the shadow prices associated with market 1 and market 2. And now we can give an interpretation to the lambdas. So lambda 1 is market 1's share of the capacity cost. So that's its marginal cost. Lambda 2 is the marginal cost of capacity, or the shadow price of capacity, in market 2. It's market 2's share of the $42. Now we can solve the problem. Looking at the last Q constraints, we see that K minus Q1 equals 0 and K minus Q2 equals 0. So that suggests that K equals Q1 equals Q2. So in our solution, capacity be picked so that each market just meets the capacity constraint of K. Now what we need to figure out is what is K, and in turn, what is Q1 and Q2. So let's look at our first two conditions, which says that we said that 100 minus 2Q1 minus lambda 1 equals 0, or Q1 equals 100 minus lambda 1 over 2. Similarly, in market 2, from the second first order condition, we know that 70 minus 2Q2 minus lambda 2 equals 0, or Q2 equals 70 minus lambda 2 all over 2, just by rearranging those two equations. Since we know also that since Q1 equals Q2, we can set these two equal. So now we know that 100 minus lambda 1 all over 2 equals 70 minus lambda 2 all over 2. Let's simplify. Well, the 2 on either side is going to cancel out, so that says that 100 minus lambda 1 equals 70 minus lambda 2. Or 30 equals lambda 1 minus lambda 2. We have from the other first order condition above the other rule that says that 42, the cost of capacity, equals lambda 1 plus lambda 2. So now we have two equations, both with lambda 1 and lambda 2. We can solve these together. So the best way to do it is to simply add the two equations together. So 30 and 42 is 72. Lambda 1 plus lambda 1 equals 2 lambda 1. And lambda 2 negative plus lambda 2 positive is simply 0. So now we know that 2 lambda 1 equals 72, or lambda 1 equals 36. So the marginal cost in market 1 is 36. Therefore, lambda 2, the marginal cost in market 2, is lambda 1 minus lambda 2 equals 30, so therefore it must be 6. Now we're almost ready to find Q1. So we know that Q1 equals 100 minus lambda 1 all over 2. And so that gives us 100 minus 36 all divided by 2, which is 64 over 2, which is 32. So now we know the output in market 1 will be 32. Now if you remember from above, we said that Q1 is going to equal Q2 is going to equal K, our capacity. So that means that they're all equal to 32. So we now know that the amount of capacity the firm will buy will be 32 units. The market price in from the peak load will be P1 equals 100 minus Q1. Since Q1 is 32, that means price in market 1 will be 68. Market 2, P2, will equal 70 minus Q2, which is also 32, which will be 38. All right. So now we know what the prices in both markets will be. So let's look at this answer graphically. So for market 1, we see that the demand is given by P1 equals 100 minus Q1, so demand curve for the first market, D1, will look like this. And the marginal revenue, if you remember this from your economics class, is twice as steep. So marginal revenue for market 1 will look like this. And the marginal cost in this market we know to be lambda 1, which is lambda 1 equals 36, which is the marginal cost. So marginal revenue equals marginal cost in market 1, which gives us 32 units of output and a price of 68. When we look at market 2, we see that, which is the smaller market, the demand curve for market 2 is given by P2 equals 70 minus Q2. So that will be 7. Hang on 1 second. That will be 70 and 70, Q2, P2. And the marginal cost in this market will be much lower since it's a smaller market. And that will be lambda 2 equals 6. We put in the marginal revenue, which again has the same intercept but is twice as steep as the demand function. And there's marginal revenue for market 2. And in this market, where marginal revenue equals the lower marginal cost of 6, we also get 32 units, but this gives us a market price of only 38. So by splitting cost of capacity and sharing it across the large market and the small market, and giving them differential marginal costs based on their own markets, the firm will maximize profits. This is the best combination of capacity shared across two markets that these two firms can achieve. So this is an example of what we call peak load pricing. And let's stop there.